With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Well, U.S. corn and soybean export economics shifted noticeably in the third quarter of 2025 as transportation costs rose from the previous quarter but remained lower than a year earlier. It underscores how logistics, not farm prices alone, continue to shape export competitiveness. From the second to the third quarter, transportation costs from Minneapolis to Japan increased for both corn and soybeans through the U.S. Gulf and Pacific Northwest. Quarter-to-quarter rise, driven primarily by higher ocean freight rates. It's reflecting strong global bulk demand, seasonal shipping patterns, and temporary logistical constraints. Gulf route transportation cost jumped 14% for both crops, fueled by an 18% increase in barge rates and a 17% rise in ocean freight, partially offset by slightly lower trucking cost. And despite higher freight cost, total landed costs were cushioned by weaker farm values. Corn farm prices fell nearly 12% quarter to quarter. Soybean values declined about 3%. And as a result, the total landed cost through the Gulf fell 3% for corn, but up 1% for soybeans. China's newly announced safeguard tariffs on beef imports, less about foreign competition, more about self-inflicted market swings. That's according to analysis from Fred Gehl, an economist specializing in Chinese ag markets. Gehl argues that the move punishes trading partners for volatility caused by a series of internal shocks rather than by import pressure. Now, beef prices in China rose roughly 20% between 2019 and 2021, largely driven by a massive pork shortage caused by African swine fever. Well, that shortage spilled into beef demand, pulling in higher imports as prices climbed. Imports did not depress prices. Rising prices attracted imports, and when pork production later overexpanded and China's economy slowed amid the COVID lockdowns, meat prices collapsed in 23-24, taking beef with them. Additional pressure came from a large dairy cattle cull in 2023, which flooded the market with more beef amid an already weakening market. With prices falling, Beijing then turned to safeguard tariffs as a rescue measure, despite imports having already stabilized. Leaving crop residue standing after harvest or a failed crop can deliver meaningful soil and economic benefits, while shredding or plowing stubble often works against both goals. That's a message from Dr. Calvin Trossel, a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension agronomist who says many producers still underestimate the value of existing residue. He notes that standing stubble serves as a free dead covers crop, protecting soil from wind erosion, improving water capture, and reducing surface crusting without requiring additional moisture or inputs. He says shredding, by contrast, leaves typically about $10 per acre with no measurable return. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
While President Trump's efforts have successfully brought down the price of a lot of everyday staples, fruits, vegetables, dairy, eggs, pork, and ground beef, harmful measures like Proposition 12 here in California are undermining affordability and closing off the market for so many farmers.
Speaking in Anaheim at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
California, not surprisingly, has gone rogue and caused real pain to consumers and to our farmers under its pork confinement restrictions and cage-free egg commitments. This war against consumer choice and against our farmers forces Californians and those who receive those goods across the country to buy more expensive eggs and pork. California's actions under Proposition 12 fly in the face of federal jurisdiction and regulation over food production and safety, such as the Egg Products Inspection Act. It is one thing if California passes laws that affect only its own state, but it is another when those laws affect other states in violation of our United States Constitution. The Trump administration is standing up against this overreach. Last year, our Department of Justice filed a lawsuit against the state of California, Governor Gavin Newsom, Attorney General Rob Bonta, and other state officials. These oppressive actions cannot be allowed to continue. Freedom must win the day for the good of consumers and for the sake of our farm economy, which has an abundance of wholesome, healthy food just waiting to reach the market and end up on dinner tables across the nation. In contrast to Governor Newsom's antics, President Trump has been opening up market opportunities for our farmers left and right. That mission has also made him arguably the most pro-biofuels leader in history. On his first day in office, he declared a national energy emergency and identified year-round E15 as a solution for extending fuel supplies and reducing pump prices. While the Trump administration has gone as far as we can regulatorily to provide EPA E15 waivers, Congress must now do its job and pass nationwide year-round E15 legislation to continue to drive domestic crop demand, a clear win-win for farmers and consumers. Under President Trump's leadership and our direction, our EPA has also proposed the highest and most aggressive renewable volume obligation, or RVO, proposal in history, which once final will ensure corn and soy and sorghum producers have a long-term certainty and a demand stream domestically that is already helping consumer prices at the pump. The importance of strong markets leads me to another announcement today, and that some of our incredible specialty crop farmers in the audience will be excited to hear. Today, the USDA is announcing we will purchase another additional $80 million in U.S.-grown commodities to provide nutrition assistance to communities across the country. Specifically, through USDA's authority under Section 32 of the Agriculture Act of 1935, the department will buy almonds, grape juice, pistachios, and raisins, all which will be produced by our hardworking American farmers, many of you in the state of California here today.
Speaking at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention in Anaheim, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
In simple terms, an accumulator is a rules-based approach to risk management.
Do you hear marketing terms you don't understand? Jared Morgan is Vice President of Global Education with StoneX.
What we'll do when we use accumulators is dedicate a known number of bushels to this contract, and that contract will move throughout a period of time that we define, performing exactly the way we intended it to on day one. So I think accumulators are, well, first of all, they're relatively new to the marketplace. They've been around for several years now, but definitely some of the newer groups of contracts that we have available to us. And, you know, I think just from myself, you see farmers out there and they're always complaining about the guys in Chicago, right? They seem to think that they have an edge on the market. Really, funny enough, these accumulators put a professional option trader right in a farmer's back pocket. So everything those professional traders are doing in regards to options is exactly what these accumulator contracts do. What they are, they're simply strips of weekly options. So we're buying options to provide price risk management, and we're also selling options to create some premium that we can pass along to the individual that writes this contract. That brings up a huge benefit of accumulators. In most cases, we're going to be accumulating sales at a premium level based on where the market is trading when we write that contract. So that is a huge benefit to accumulators, but there's also some risks to them, and we're going to talk about those as well. Obviously, if we're going to accept that premium price, we know that we're going to have to give something up in order to accept it, and that's going to come with also some predefined levels of risk that we include back into that structure.
And what are the key risks with accumulators?
Double up risk and knockout risk are the two primary features that are added to accumulator contracts that farmers utilize. And the name kind of says it all. How an accumulator typically works, let's just take a very simple example. We have 10,000 bushels that we want to enroll in an accumulator that's going to go for the next 10 weeks. They can certainly be longer than that. In fact, that's where we really see some benefit with accumulators. But for the sake of simplicity, let's say 10,000 bushel, 10 weeks. With that contract, we are going to make a sale of 1,000 bushels per week for all 10 of those weeks, selling the intended 10,000 bushels by the time that contract expires. Now, when it comes to double up risk, that's going to depend on what type of contract we use. But let's say there's a risk of that contract doubling up every week. If the market would trade above that accumulation level where we are accumulating sales in any 1 week, then instead of pricing 1,000 bushels, we would price two. We would double the amount of sales for that accumulation period. So that's double up level. Knockout level is a level below the accumulation level, at which point the accumulator would cease to exist. So let's say, for instance, we trade 5 weeks in that accumulator of 10,000 bushel in 10 weeks. We would still keep the five previous sales that were made at that accumulation level. But on week five, if that knockout level is hit, then the accumulator ceases to work. So it disappears and no further accumulations will be priced.
That's Jared Morgan with StoneX. It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
President Trump is rebuilding the farm economy by focusing on what matters: lower costs, reliable financing, stronger markets, and fair trade.
Speaking in Anaheim at Farm Bureau's annual convention, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
The deals that have been struck over the last year, whether it is new beef access into Australia, more rice into Japan, the UK, the EU. Just yesterday, I'm on the phone almost daily with our U.S. trade rep, Jamison Greer, as well as Secretary Bessent, our Treasury Secretary, and Secretary Lutnick, our Commerce Secretary, as they are out negotiating these deals. We have another at least dozen more that we'll be announcing in the coming weeks to a month. And that is on top of all that was achieved recently in the last year. Thanks to the hard work, we closed out 2025 with serious points on the board. Dairy exports, I mean, dairy farmers out there, got a lot of good news in dairy. We're up 15% over 2025. And corn exports, any corn farmers out there? I hear you. Up 29% over the last year. But y'all, this is just the beginning. And I have no doubt that we will continue and score even bigger wins for you, our beloved farmers and our producers in 2026. While the president is expanding markets for American agriculture overseas, we are working day and night to strengthen the domestic safety net here at home. A massive source of relief, hopefully, for everyone in this room was this past summer when the president signed the One Big Beautiful Bill into law. The largest working and middle class tax cut in history, the largest. Across the country, real take-home pay on average will increase up to $10,000 for a family of four. This is real money. Increased reference prices for the first time in over a decade. Is that good news to a lot of you in this room? Crop insurance improvements, enhanced coverage, and lower premiums, saving producers an estimated $400 million a year, and expanding the new and beginning farmer definition and premium benefits from 5 to 10 years. We made in that bill the death tax exemption permanent for almost 2 million family farms and indexed it to inflation. We made permanent the 20% qualified bonus income deduction, full bonus depreciation, and the $15 million per individual estate tax exemption. It also included 100% immediate expensing, allowing farmers and ranchers to deduct their capital-intensive business investments, and as well as extending the 45Z biofuel tax credit through 2029. All in, that bill represented a $250 million investment in rural America. And I can't, whether you are Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, whether you are in a red state like Texas or a blue state like California, none of that matters except to know that for the first time in history, we had the largest investment at a time when that bill was focused on shrinking government. So I hope everyone realizes that this incredible win for rural America, while at a time where we're working to return power to the people, to shrink the size of government, to have more money in your pocket at the end of the day and less in the government coffers, but to also realize that this investment into all of you in rural America is one of the top priorities of our administration.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, I mean,
Chief Economist with Meridian Agribusiness Advisors, Wesley Davis, on what farmers will use bridge payments for.
The researchers at Purdue's Center for Food or Center for Commercial Agriculture were ahead of the game here. They asked it in two of their barometer surveys. Both times, almost 50% of farmers said, I'm going to use this to pay down debt. I'm going to get that debt off of my books and make it a little bit easier for me to manage the needs of my operation and, you know, take that heavy bag off of my back. The second use that they said was to build working capital. It was about another 20-25% of farmers. So they want to be able to replenish things like their rainy day funds. The rest of the longer tail of things they said they would use are things like potentially investing in, you know, machinery that at this point in the cycle, we do have some farmers that bought early and, you know, the 16-17 range and might actually just need to buy new things or want to take advantage of the tax credits that increase this year for equipment depreciation. So that's kind of where they're saying that they'll use it. They're not saying that they'll use it to go out and buy new equipment, to pay for family expenses necessarily, or to buy new land. They're saying they want to use it to insulate themselves and feel more comfortable about the money in their bank accounts and what they have to pay out at the end of the year to the bank.
There are some groups upset that farmers will not be made whole.
Look, I mean, I think that the program is helpful to certain farmers, especially the 20 to 30% of them for corn and soybeans this year that are going to be in the red. We have farmers that are just not going to make money this year, even with those payments. There's a group of them that are going to benefit from, you know, the relief that this is going to offer. But those producers are still going to be hurting because the prices have declined and the input prices relative to their price received is depressed. I do think there's been whispers from tons of groups in Washington and reports as well that there could be another set of payments coming out. I think the administration didn't really focus on framing this as a trade remedy. And if you look at the program back in 2019 and 2020, or 2018 and 19, that program really focused on figuring out what would the price have been if we did not have a trade war. What is the price that farmers received and really making them whole for that? Versus here, it really does seem that they said, all right, what's the P&L look like for this farm? And what do we need to do for the median producer to help them get by?
But after multiple years of losses, will the farm economy ever turn around?
I'm a farm kid, so I'm eternally optimistic about it turning back. And it always does. It's just a question of when. I think a couple of the things that could catalyze that, we all talk about the renewable fuel standards and what that could potentially mean. I think the other potential catalyst is some of the livestock rebuilding that we've been doing. There are some indicators that beef producers are potentially starting to rebuild those herds. And so if we have that, it's going to expand our feed mill or our feed use for some of the crops. We will get through the election this year. And I think at the end of that, a lot of the farm groups and folks in the farm community will be looking for a new farm bill to come down and to be part of permanent legislation. I think once we get past the ad hoc approach to the farm bill and more to a stable program like what we've seen in years past that really takes into reality the type of cost environment and risks that producers have from geopolitics and consumer demand, I think we'll really start to see things turn back again.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Guaranteed quantity is a feature of accumulators. It can be added to almost any accumulator, and it addresses that knockout risk.
Jared Morgan, Vice President, Global Education with StoneX.
When we include a guaranteed quantity in a particular accumulator, that is going to give us a price level at which we will price the remaining quantity in that accumulator if the knockout happens to occur. So looking back at our 10,000 bushel example over 10 weeks, and I believe we got knocked out on week 5. So we priced 5,000 bushels at the accumulation level, and then we experienced a knockout. Typically, the accumulator would be finished and wouldn't accumulate anything moving forward. The guaranteed quantity level gives us a price at which we will, on that day, price the remaining quantity of that structure. So all 5,000 remaining bushels will be priced on the day of the knockout at a price that is lower than the accumulation level, but higher than the knockout level. So it's going to be at a premium to where the market is currently trading, but lower than the accumulation level was. More often than not, we see the guaranteed level set at the price level at which futures were trading when the accumulator was originated or on day one.
How is the level set, and how does it compare to the accumulation level?
So when you use an accumulator contract, these levels are going to be given to us by the OTC desk that writes up this accumulator. Now, there is some flexibility there. If you have an accumulation level or a guaranteed quantity that you want to achieve, then there's often ways to do that. But initially, we're going to see a structure quoted out that gives us an accumulation level, a knockout level, and if we choose, a guaranteed level. How this is typically done is the accumulation level, as we've said, is going to be set above that market price. The knockout level will be below, and the guaranteed quantity price level is typically going to be wherever futures were trading when that contract was originated or on day one of the accumulator.
What are the main benefits?
So there is significant benefits and disadvantages to choosing to include this into any structure. The guaranteed quantity is going to, first of all, give us the ability to rest assured that we are going to price the intended amount of bushels of grain. Go back to our example of 10,000 bushels. If we get knocked out on week 5 and we've only sold 5,000 bushels, we still have that other 5 of production that we know we're going to have to market in an alternative way. By including this guaranteed quantity feature, that's no longer a risk. We know we're going to sell 10,000 bushels. The only question is, are we going to sell them at the accumulation level or the guaranteed level? Now, there's also a disadvantage. So that's a huge advantage. We know that we're going to sell grain. The disadvantage is it's going to impact our accumulation level. So, you know, we accept this premium by assuming risk, right? So that double up level, that knockout level, is the trade-off we give, saying that we want this premium based off of accepting those risks. If we add the guaranteed quantity, we've reduced the amount of risk in the accumulator, reduced our ability to collect premium from the option market throughout the life of that accumulator, and that's going to reduce the overall accumulation level of the structure when we quote it up.
What do producers find attractive?
So this guaranteed quantity feature can look very attractive to producers that are fearful of knockout risk. We've said it a few times already. It's worth repeating that if we do get knocked out, now we are in a lower market. That knockout price might be at a level that's not even profitable to the farmer. So, adding that guaranteed quantity may be a very, you know, strategic thing for them to do to ensure that they make their sales at a level that is profitable for them.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.